I wish you'd tell me on this tape about this landscaping that you took for this place, because I have no recollection of that at all.
Well, there's no great story back of that, except that I used to keep track of the things the University of Wisconsin was doing to assist people in doing things for their homes and also for their estates or their yards and so forth that didn't fall into the regular farm work that the men were doing. And I found out that they were having a course at the university. You could have for free if you wanted to go up there, but it was going to last for 2 or 3 days, and it was under the supervision of their head, would you call it gardener, Ron?
Horticulturist,
yes. And Professor Oust was head of it, and then he had several men that took part. Ron took me up to the university and I enrolled in the course, and I stayed at the Lorraine Hotel and took my meals there, and then I would go down to this class every day for 3 days. And we had part of our work in a room with a blackboard in which they drew certain landscape effects and showed us which trees would go best there and here, and also they talked about shrubs and bushes and the ones that were best for Wisconsin and the ones that would go best in certain areas of your yard or your expanse of land that you could turn into a good background for your home. And after they did that, then they took us to different places to show us. Places that had already been landscaped, and why certain groups of trees were where they were and why certain bushes were where they were, and it was a real course. We kept notebooks and we kept drawings, and we would copy these things down from the blackboards after they would make them, and then we were allowed to make our own and have them okayed or have them looked at, and sometimes changed around so that the sun would be on the right shrubs or trees, and where they would do best in growing. And then we learned about their growing seasons and when we should plant them. And it was a really interesting experience, and I had never dreamed that one could get all of that in 2 or 3 days, or that Ron would have the slightest idea of taking me up there when he just heard I was interested. And I somewhere have a blueprint of what we finally decided to do, and the university made the blueprint for us.
I can remember studying the blueprint and seeing it.
And that was what came of that little school that I went to for 2 or 3 days at the university.
So that's how come we have the mountain ashes and the
We had
various pines over
there. And mountain ash, and we had several kinds of pine.
Mm-hmm. And we had those
arborvita in front of the
those
house.
Elms, those Chinese elms or something.
Chinese elms, they didn't last. Maybe we were told that they would not last too long.
They're still here.
Chinese elms?
I got Chinese elms. Two places.
Well, the ones that we
the
had
ones that were there in the front.
Front, the first two didn't last. And then there were some here, trees here that were, that we used, left there and worked around, like the mulberry trees. There were two of them. One has died since, and it's a big elm and it's still out in front. But we've lost the elms. So
well, I think we've lost all of the elms there.
But these are maples, aren't they? Those two
up
front.
These big ones in front are maples that were old and rotten at the time we came up here 30 years ago. And we thought they'd last a couple of years. Well, they're still there. And they've still got hollow trunks and squirrels and raccoons and various other animals make use of them. And our little dog is always interested in seeing what is inside.
It's been about 40 years. We came up here about 38.
That's right.
39.
Well, those trees that seem to be in good shape and have good shade and were a good start on our landscaping, we would leave and then work around them. And
except for those two elms and one mulberry, I can't think of any trees that were...
You mean those two maples?
Two maples and the one mulberry tree. I can't think of any other trees that were here at the time that we came up. The big elms that we had all succumbed to Dutch elm disease.
But some of them were here when we came up. So all the rest was the result of my schooling at that time.
And the white birches we had are practically gone because of a borer that gets under them after the under the bark and kills them. And,
one whole clump of those birches is gone, but we still have a few.
Well, we planted some American birch and they took a hold. But these white birches, after once the borer get into them, why you can't grow any more birches on that land for 30 or 40 years, I guess.
Hmm.
But at any rate, they are very susceptible to them.
Well, you certainly made a very pleasant lawn out of this, Mother, and I remember coming up all fourth grade and pouring buckets of water around the trees, and
we did
there
that
were trenches.
Did that every night for a while.
Every night for a while we'd come up, and I remember working on chopping out crabgrass with Dad, especially out that area by the smokehouse. There was a lot of crabgrass in that
mm-hmm.
area.
Probably still mm-hmm. is.
Well, we got it finally. And then...
Well, I blessed the university for that because I felt that we really had a very beautiful entrance to our home.
Was that after Laroque and the United States Department of Agriculture man came down here and decided to take the place of the project?
It was during that era when they were working on the house and we were thinking of what to do in front of the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, they decided, what's this about they're deciding to take it for a project?
Yes, the United States Department of Agriculture, they decided to get three or four projects going in Wisconsin and in, I think, Mississippi or Alabama. It would take old farmhouses and recondition them cheaply and make them as nice as any city home could be.
Well, one of the big projects in that line, you remember, was to conserve heat. And they were to show us how to use insulation or what to do with the house that always was chilly and let in the winds in the winter and all. They were to conserve heat, and they had to measure heat. I remember Stan Otis had that part of the job. And so we accepted the offer immediately, and because we were going to do the house over anyway. We weren't going to live in it the way it was.
So did you get any reduction? Did they give you some of this service for nothing?
Oh, the service was free.
It was all for nothing.
You mean all the rocks, the architecture was free?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, how terrific.
Isn't that wonderful?
It pays to be connected with the university,
yeah,
doesn't it?
And
how did you happen to hear about it?
It was I that heard about it, too.
So at the school that you went to?
Yeah.
And the next thing I knew, LaRock and this USDA man were down there looking at the house on the outside. And
oh, well, now let me see if I got this straight. You people, let's skip some of the early part, but we needed to move out of the little house because it was really too small and cramped. And you looked around for various places, including that place downtown you looked.
Yeah.
And the corner of Chapin and whatever it is that had the ice in the kitchen.
Well,
and
beyond that other lovely one that...
Well, you looked at one out on Sherwood Drive?
On Sherwood Drive. We liked that very much.
And well, I don't even remember that one, but I remember that...
It had a swimming pool attached, but that was moved over to the... to the other owners later after somebody else bought it.
Mrs. Gardner was in that house, wasn't she, or had been?
At one time.
Oh, I guess I remember that then. Well, anyway, none of us kids wanted to move into town, as I recall.
That was it. You wept.
We all wept, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Were you sort of warm on this house until us kids reacted?
Well, it was a beautiful place down there, and it was near Cobb School, and it was in the elite part of the town, and that we could swing it as much as we could swing redoing all of this as we thought. I mean, we didn't know then that we were going to have such fine help from the rock.
Well, we bought this place for the same price that we could have bought that house downtown, 135 acres and these old farm buildings.
Well, thank God us kids wept then.
Well, you didn't. You wanted to stay on the phone.
I think if we hadn't wept, we might have ended up as town kids.
That's right.
Horrors. I've always felt sorry for my kids because they were town kids. Well, okay, so then when we wept, then you started looking around for a farmhouse, huh?
No, what happened was that we had rented this farm for a year. And we had enjoyed working up here on the hill, and the view, and it was just a lovely spot.
We used to come up here and sit on the lawn just to look over the
so,
view.
So after...
Was this before you decided to buy it?
Yeah.
I think we paid about $12,000 for it. And the payments were extended over a number of years, so that... no great hardship.
The Dummers were living here, I remember, when I came through here once as a little kid looking at the place when we had bought it. I remember a terrible back pantry sort of as you went into the kitchen. The place was quite filthy.
But we didn't move in here until after we remodeled.
Well, I know that, but I remember coming in here when the Snides, not when Snides, when the Dummers lived here. Weren't Dummers in here, Mother?
I think the Pope has lived here.
Oh, much too long before that. They lived here before it was sold to the Snides, and we lost to the Snides.
But I thought the Dummers were renting here, because I seem to recall seeing Fat Mrs. Dummer in the kitchen.
Well, they were renting from us then, or we put them up here before we decided what we were going to do with the place.
Oh, okay. So then we bought the place and decided to fix it up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then here was this whole lawn, and Mother trotted off to to Madison. and took a short course in landscaping, right?
Yeah, and also in gardening. I've got a blueprint somewhere where the various flowers and flowering shrubs should be placed.
Well,
we added those.
I suggest you get at that.
I don't know where it is now.
Well, I mean, I suggest you get at the gardening. Don't you think it's about
We did put in the Thyrea and the Forsythia.
That's right, we put in
Thyrea some. Thyrea Bimaldi along here. And,
and there were all those rose bushes out, yellow roses.
Well, that was, those were from Grandma's rose garden, and we just transplanted them.
The first planting that we really did was Roy Beamer and I dug up some lilacs down at Grandma's, and we planted that whole hedge of lilacs along the north side of the lawn. Hot day, I remember.
But that was part of our plan to encircle this yard, make it more like a yard than just an extension of the farm.
Then we planned to have on the east side of the house, and back 300 feet, 100 yards, a dense woodland,
woodlot. That was your decision, your plan.
Well, you got it, didn't you?
Well, we planted ash and maple and elm and various other trees and
lots of apples.
It grew up to be pretty dense area, but never.
Okay.
Well, La Rock had three projects similar to ours,
But let me finish about how Mother found out about it. You trotted around and saw the guy, or how did you make contact?
Well, they were all there at the school in which we worked out landscape and flower gardening and all that sort of thing. They were all in that area.
So did you sashay up to La Rock and say, we've got a farmhouse?
No, I didn't sashay anywhere at the time, but I realized and understood that they were willing to use their expertise on old farmhouses to show them how they could be remodeled in such a way as to make them more comfortable, and also to conserve heat. Many farmhouses were very cold in winter, and they let in all kinds of cold in various places and in the houses. And so
we've said that before. I'm just trying to figure out how La Rock got into it. How did you people meet La Rock?
Well, La Rock was the chief architect of this idea.
All right, but who got in touch with him?
Ron told you that I had evidently left word that I was interested and would like him to come here, because Ron said he found two men standing on our lawn.
Is that the way it went, Danny?
Yeah.
Okay, then tell me about it.
Now you start there, Ron.
Well, I asked them what it was all about, and they told me what it was all about, and I said I'd be interested, and they implied that the cost wouldn't be excessive, really very moderate, and...
You mean Mother left her name on a list or something, and they came down to look the place over?
Yes. I was in the group, you see.
I know that. I'm just trying to get it more specific.
Well, I don't know how they happened to pick Grandma, because probably she was a good-looking woman.
I don't know why they picked me, but I left word that we were interested, that we had a house that we wanted to remodel.
So they must have been quite delighted with the view and the...
possibilities of remodeling this house.
Uh-huh.
And the cost of doing it was supposed to be very, very moderate. I forget how low it was. Only $2,000-$3,000 probably. But then when we got started in on it, they drew blueprints of, they had blueprints made of how the house should be remodeled and from top to bottom, and so we started in, and if we needed more money, I would come up with it.
And you and I also would give LaRock ideas about what we like, and he liked that too, because he realized that he could do something up here, make an attractive home out of it instead of the poor little affair that was here.
Well, this is strictly Wisconsin Gothic style.
Yes, it was. I recall it.
Well, to start with. And he had three projects, including this one. Wilbur Rank, above Madison. A man named Hubbard, little below Madison, and we down here at Beloit. And one of his expressions when he would come here would be saying, well, I've just been up to Rank's or down to Hubbard's.
And the university paid his salary.
Yeah.
And he did this for us for free, as far as his job.
Yeah, good.
Well, isn't that neat?
That was very
and
neat.
And I have a bulletin that shows the house that was before they started, the USDA bulletin shows a picture of the house before the remodeling took place and then a picture of it after it was finished. If I could put my hand on it.
You suppose it's filed in your file, too?
Just somewhere. I've seen it every once in a while over the years.
Well, when you come across it again, why, well, put it aside with things for Jackie. Why don't you make a file for everything you think I'd be interested in?
Well, that's a good idea. I've got a Jackie file up there now.
I know, but that's mostly when you give me money and things like that, isn't it?
I expect.
So how long did it take to remodel? And I recall fourth grade working on the yard, and I recall the remodeling going on and building little brick houses out of the bricks and doing the sorts of things.
I remember feeding them all down at the little house, and then I remember feeding them up here after they got going.
Well, I think it started in the spring and ran through the summer, and along about October we moved in, but we didn't have all the interior doors in. And
I'll tell you when we moved in.
We didn't have the heat on and so forth.
I'll tell you when we moved in.
Right.
We moved in while us kids were at the lake, because we went to the lake in the spring out of the little house and we came back into this house.
Yes, I remember that, too.
Because I would have remembered a move. I would have remembered taking things out of the little house and bringing them up here to this house. But that was all done when I wasn't here. And we came back to this house and I started fifth grade walking down that lane in September and finding the afters along the way and being so excited by that. And that was the fall that we got Laffy.
I still think that you're still the things in the attic that we never brought down.
At the little house?
That move.
At the little house?
No, here. They had to dump everything. They had a lot in the garage, and they had a lot in the back hall, and then they had taken things up to the attic because they didn't want to furnish the house with the old cot that we had at the lake and things like that.
So what do you think? There's still boxes of stuff from the
little
house? I
think there are lots of boxes of books, and I think there's some old suitcases with stuff in them and things like that.
I can't imagine that happening after Craig has gone through the attic time after time.
Well, there are certain things that he's been interested in looking at, but I don't.
Well, what I'm interested in are the boxes of pictures and drawings and school kids stuff of ours. I went through it once looking for all those pictures that Patty drew with pastels down at the little house of Johnny Stubtail and all the stuffed animals, and I never could find all those pictures. I was going to frame them up for Patty.
Well, I found one or two, I think, and showed them to Patty, and she wasn't very interested, but I didn't throw them away. They might be in drawers up in the room with a double bed.
Well, I remember them all being together and up in the attic at one point.
Well, maybe you'll find them up there. None of were things carried up there. There's one box up there I think we got from Hazel's, and I don't know what's in it. It's just like a hope chest, and again, a little smaller than usual. I'd like to see what's in there. Might be things that are worthwhile. And then Grandma's is out in the back hall up above.
Is that Grandma's? It's got all the stuff piled on it?
It's got a lot of comforters and things like that that might be very useful. But I haven't had a chance to pull them all out and do anything with them.
How about this summer? Am I unloading some of those things and looking in and seeing?
Well, if you're back this summer, I'd be very happy to have you.
Well, I'll be back for a weekend, but I'll also be back late summer.
Well, let's plan to do it in late summer, when it isn't too hot.
I want to get into the boxes of Grandma and Grandpa's correspondence and see what I can find there. And
we can do that, too.
Sort it out and give the stuff back to Trevor that's his and find if there's anything in it that has to do with the running of the place.
Well, what more on this house?
We moved in before the furnace was operating, and we hung quilts over the entry to this main living room and kept warm with our fireplace until the furnace got hooked up properly.
We bought Daddy Haugen up from Chicago.
Who was he and what was he doing up here?
Well, he was a great friend of Olive and Milo's, and he was a very top construction and builder. And he had built the Northwestern Railway up here, by the way.
And all the St. Paul.
The St. Paul station. And Mark Keller got to the place where he couldn't do the finer things that Lorac insisted on. Lorac was very taken by the fact that both Paul and I were playing classics and the kids were playing fiddles and everything, and he thought this family should have a very lovely, comfortable, spacious home. And he just put all of his thoughts to it, and I think he did a marvelous job. But we had to raise the second floor up to a third attic floor and fill up the second room there so we could have bedrooms. And he had a lot of things like that that he did. Well, Daddy Haugen came up and assisted in doing some of the things that Mark Keller couldn't see any sense in doing, like that door between the kitchen and the dining room. Mr. Lorac made them tear that out and had Haugen fix it up again. You can see it just didn't go from one door frame into the next room.
Mm-hmm.
He had a section about so wide that
it was 18 inches or more, and Mark Keller thought you might as well have just a tunnel going through there, an ordinary width door. Lorac wanted to have you sort of welcomed into the place and have a wider opening and then set in a little bit, and then you came to the door. Well, Mark didn't see that.
But Daddy Haugen did.
He framed it as just sort of a tunnel through that 18 or 20 inches, and Lorac made him reframe it. Then Mark Keller did things by rule of thumb. He would figure that so-and-so would be so hot, so tall, and then he'd frame a door or a window in the interior of the house on that basis. And the doors we ordered and the windows we had ordered, mainly doors, or two inches shorter. Well, Keller had them all framed in at the higher level, and so they...
And he, well, he didn't read.
And plastered in at that on that basis. So.
He didn't read the specifics, you see, that Lalakin made. It was all down. It was all worked out in blueprints for them to make it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But Keller didn't pay a lot of attention to those things. So that's why we had Daddy Alden come up, because he was an expert and could take over and fix things that were ruined otherwise. So they, between them, he and Laroque turned us out a very lovely home.
Well, you see, we did this remodeling in the last days of the Depression, 37, 38, so mm-hmm. forth. And so wages were rather low. I think we were paying a dollar for the top carpenter, a dollar an hour. And paying 45 cents a hundred for, $45 a thousand for the studdings. I suppose that stuff now is up to $300 a thousand.
We'd for a while, Grandma and Grandpa were very much upset that we were having this done. Their idea was, and especially Grandpa's at the time, was to have it just come in and repaint the whole house and give it a new look and look at the foundation and see if that was all right and so forth. And we wouldn't have that because we would have moved back into the same size house, except for a little bit larger than the one we were leaving. And our idea was to get a house that would give us space for four kids growing up, and each one wanting separate space when they needed it, and all of that. So we just went our happy way and did it our own way with Barack. And then they had to admit that this was a very good idea.
Actually, we would have been almost as well off to start it all over again. The roof is good, but by the time we had remodeled the house to Laroque's recommendation, the windows were all changed, and practically nothing was left except some studding sticking up.
Well, and tell about the foundation, too.
Oh, yes,
we had to dig more cellar.
We dug out the cellar to give us a cellar under the whole house using a scoop and horses pulling it, or an old farm wall, I guess, at one time. Hauled the dirt out from under the house until we got the basement down to the level that we wanted it, and then we poured cement around, which we mixed ourselves for the foundations. So forth. Then we added on the length of the house. The time we took the house over, the house ended about where you go into the kitchen now. So we added on the kitchen and the back hall and the garage.
Maybe the dining room.
I think that area was there.
Or at least part of it.
But there were little partitions all over the place, little bits of rooms. Scattered around upstairs,
and there were stairs going upstairs here at the end of that of this one, on this side of the wall.
So it was wrapped practically rebuilding the house.
Mm-hmm. I recall that you're thinking there wouldn't be that much to do, and then it kept growing and growing and growing with more to do.
Well, I've told you this story that. When they got up to $10,000, I couldn't tell anybody about it. And I suppose we spent at that time probably $12,000. And for 20 years, I wouldn't tell anybody what it cost me to remodel, because why should a farmer be spending that much money on his home? And for the last 30 years, well, I've been ashamed to tell anybody what nice house we got for $10,000, $12,000, $13,000. Then, of more at this end of the living room. We'll add it later.
Free architecture. So we did it together, and we both were happy about it after, and all the kids were.
I remember one deal when we were making these cellar wells in front of the cellar windows. We poured the concrete and roughed it in on the well here on the south side of the house, and after supper, Grandma and I came up and we troweled it down and finished it after the cement had set enough to allow us to do so.
I was young then and very active and able to do quite a lot of the work. I remember pouring the water and everything too. We all helped. And you kids helped.
Of course, when we mixed the cement ourselves with a little cement mixer, we'd get to the end of the day and we hadn't finished the wall, and we'd have to leave it till the next day, and then we'd pour the cement the next day on top of this previously poured cement, and you can still see the areas in the cellar wall from the inside where the two pourings matched up.
Well, the foundation was so bad, it was just rocks on top of rocks, practically, that we knew we couldn't build a house on.
Well,
top
there's
of
some foundation still left.
There's very little. We had to put in quite a bit of our own.
Limestone blocks and more.
Jackie, Daddy Hobbin built Arlen and Marlo's apartment house in Chicago. That was one of the things that he did for them. Made use of that big corner. They had a house there. It had a nice little...
Well, now tell me if the university had anything to do with this when Larocque was remodeling this. Now wait, I haven't heard what I'm about to say.
Oh.
You came to the little house with a sheaf of papers that were efficiency sheets for how often you'd go into the kitchen and how much one room would have a use and how much another room would have a use, and you were supposed to fill in your schedule all day long and every time you did something.
Well, that was when a woman came up here and wanted to know. Well, that was up here when we first moved in. Wanted to know if I would let her be here and watch and see how much.
So that up here, I seem to recall
done.
That down there. And,
no, that was up here.
Filling in those sheets and having great fun with where we us kids would fill them in. And
no, it was up here. But that's when they wanted to get that information. They didn't care about the other house that we were leaving.
I thought they studied the other house that we were leaving to make this an improvement.
No, this woman, which I didn't like, I had to feed her and bed her down and whatever, and she stayed for a few days and watched. That was a nuisance. I had to cook for her. And
was she from the university?
The family, yes. And she made the reports about how often we'd use clean dishcloths and dish.
You didn't know what she was snooping into, huh?
She was just looking at all the things we did, and I think her idea, her work, was to show me shortcuts and different ways of doing things and so forth, but I never could remember that she did much for me. I just thought she was a pain in the neck. But I never felt that way about Larocque. I just loved him.
Well, that's all very interesting.
Well, when the cost started to run high and so forth, why, then they would come down and sit around the table and go over the blueprints and decide what they could cut or what they could change. And I remember several of those sessions.
Did we lose any nice features?
I don't think so. After 40 years, I can't think of any real change that I would make in this house. We did plan to have the bedroom that you call Joanne's room, and the back room, which is now called the maid's room, that's used as a catch-all for anything that we want to store away. We had that pipe for water and for gas so that we could have a family living back there. Live-in maid, Matt, or that sort of thing.
Wanted to. Mm-hmm.
But I think we did use it at one time, didn't we, for a little while?
Oh, we used the maid's room for a while.
Quite a while. Louie and Beth used it when they were first married while they were making the house.
But they didn't use it as a kitchen. They didn't put
No, they used it as a home. And we had that cleared out for Philbig and Gilbert, too. That and the back room, Joe's room. They had really quite a suite. They had all those three rooms back there.
Well, as far as insulation is concerned, we insulated the house completely, and we reused redwood scrap, really redwood bark, which was fairly well shredded, and came in bales, but we had to have a little shredder to put the stuff through before we put it in the house to reduce it to workable material. So we had that thing running, and we had redwood dust all over the place for a while we were stuffing the walls.
Mm.
I can't remember whether we put the insulating paper, the moisture break on the right side or the wrong side of the
Oh, you couldn't have done it wrong with the last of the housing.
Well, I think maybe I did, but it certainly hadn't affected it particularly.
In my gardening business, the only thing that I felt bad about was that the forsythia has never done well. I think we have never got the right sexes planted with each other so that they would pollinate each other well. We just get a very little bit of forsythia, or the lilacs and the thyrea and all the rest of the things did well.
Well, the mountain ash is a short-lived tree, and I think we replaced them about two or three times after they'd lived out their life cycle.
I never knew that. I know one died over in there.
Well, the whole group died.
It seemed to be a slow-growing tree, though, too.
We have to get another one or two now. They're beginning to grow. Some of our cherries went. That's some nice...
Practically that whole grove of cherries down there gradually went.
Mount Morrissey.
Sometimes cherry, yes, those we put in with the Wisconsin's blessing. And
they never did as much good aside from some beautiful blossoms because as soon as the cherries started to ripen, the birds came in and could eat them faster than I could pick them.
I can remember picking them, but I can remember making some cherry pies, but I can also remember the birds being crazy about them.
Yeah, we'd get maybe enough for a few pies, and that's about all.
But the mulberry tree keeps bearing, and every spring, early summer, I have all the mulberries I care to pick.
And the other one died, one of the two mulberries. So that's the story of that, Jackie.
Bill Jewell's son came down here and worked for a while, lived with us. Every morning I'd have him go out and get me enough mulberries for my breakfast. He really didn't like the idea of picking mulberries.
We went up to Ron one of the times when he came back and visited us when he was grown.
Like the box that I had Bart digging out mm-hmm. yeah, that summer.
Yeah, I don't remember any digging brood outs, but tell me about, I remember once us kids were hired in that, what you call the East 20, to pull suckers. And we went through that field pulling suckers, and oh, that was hard, hot work.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
What are suckers?
Well, they seem to be shoots that grow alongside the corn that aren't gonna...
Well, corn is a grass originally, and some varieties of corn shoot out more stalks than the one main stalk, and these suckers will come along later and grow up, and after all the detasseling is over, why, we still have some shoots coming up and shedding some pollen. So we'd make a point to go through the field early and pull out all these extra thumbs and so forth that were growing out of the corn stalk at ground level.
Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't really pleasant work.
But back where we have the pond now, that area was so thick with weeds, and especially burdock.
And thistles.
Thistles. That when we would try to get a mower in there, horse-drawn mower, the horses would have trouble even getting through it.
So it was good, rich soil for all those weeds and things. We used to play down in the gullies. What?
We still have a lot of thistles back there.
Not back there, but we have thistles here and there around the place that I try to spud every year, but it's a losing battle.
Well, when we go over the field, we run in.
Were you the one that taught me the little burdock rhyme? Craig says I don't believe a word of it.
I've had that rhyme in my mind for years.
Kill him in June, you've killed too soon?
Spud him in June, kill him in June, you've killed too soon.
Kill him in May, they're here to stay.
That's right. Kill him in June and...
You've killed too soon, and kill him in July, they're sure to die.
That's right.
Craig says, don't believe it.
Bart wouldn't agree with that either.
He says, nothing kills a burdock. do you have any of those other little sayings? Like the squirrel's ear and the burdock and...
Oh, I can't recall anything right now. They pop up. And
well, when they pop up, would you jot them down?
All right.
What about, I remember Grandpa Dogan telling me as we drove along once, or maybe it was you, and here was a whole field of alfalfa, and one of you pointed out that it was time to cut it because it was, I think, 3/4 in bloom or something. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be the ideal time.
Or even sooner.
Ron says now, he says sometimes they're advocating about 20.